Welcome to the Creating Eden podcast. I am your host, Eden Elizabeth. This podcast is a space of storytelling, truth-telling, raw and honest expression. Vulnerability is not only welcomed here, but it is celebrated. In this space, we honor the messy, the real, the authentic, the too much, and everything else that makes us human. Here, you get to witness real-time emotional and energetic processes that give you a peek into my own personal practice and the work that I do with my one-to-one private mentorship clients. Thank you for being here, for witnessing, and receiving. Hello, hello. I am coming to you, sitting at my altar, as per usual. But today, I am naked, free bleeding, on my free bleed blanket, and I've got two red beeswax candles lit, and I forgot just how delicious and rich the energy of red beeswax candles is, because like I've had these candles in my altar cabinet thing for like two bleeds now and completely forgot they were there, and I remembered that I had them, and I'm free bleeding, so I'm on my bleed, it's day three, but yeah, I remembered I had them and I was like, oh yes, and now I'm looking at them lit and like the glow of the red at the top is just, oh, it does something to me, it does something to me, and it feels so good. I also have my blood on my face, anointed on my third eye and my chin. And I just posted before I sat to, or before I hit record, really, I just posted a Instagram story sharing that I used to feel like putting my own blood on my face was this like declaration of my power and my connection to my body, myself as a woman who bleeds, and yeah, I just felt like putting my blood on my face was this act of rebellion. And now, so that was like 3 or 4 years ago, and now when I put my blood on my face, I'm just like, I'm home. This is home. And it just feels so subtle and soft and yes, still holds that power. But it doesn't feel like this rebellious act anymore. It doesn't feel like this, like, yeah, big declaration. It just feels like a very soft homecoming back to my body, back to my bleed, back to my womb. And it's more just a expression of that connection. I also am wearing my ruby ring that I just wear while I'm on my bleed. And that feels really good because two bleeds ago, I don't remember exactly where I was at, what I was doing, what like was happening in my life. But I completely, like, I just went through my bleed as if it was like how I bled 5 years ago when I had no relationship to my womb. And it wasn't until after my bleed that I saw my ring and I was like, oh my God, like I didn't even put my ruby ring on. Like that's how disconnected I've been. I just felt a little bit of grief in like the lack of intention. And yeah, for me, it was just a sign, as I'm looking at it now, it was just a sign that my life was going too fast. I was going too fast. I was not slow and grounded and intentional in the ways that I normally am. So it feels really, really delicious to be sat here with these red candles, free bleeding, with my blood on my face and my ruby ring on, and I've got my red lights on and in my little cave at my altar, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I needed this. I really needed this. So yeah, I kind of want to share with you where I've been in terms of my relationship with my womb. And, you know, I'm going to be coming up to launching Holy Body again at the end of January. And so I've been like, you know, the first round of Holy Body ended 11 days ago. So we're not that far out from the end of the first round, but I've already been thinking about the next round and the next launch and, you know, stories I'm going to share and how I'm going to market and, things that I'm going to shift, change, add, take away within Holy Body and, what I want to make different, if anything. I've been thinking about week five, which is the womb portal. And, I've been feeling like maybe some imposter syndrome or just like lack of embodiment, not imposter syndrome, lack of embodiment. Because I haven't been deeply connecting to my womb, to my yoni, to, you know, even my sexuality. And I'm like, oh man, like you know, if I'm going to be back speaking about Holy Body, and of course there's so much more in Holy Body than just the womb week, but for me it's important to embody all of it, right? As I speak about it, as I teach it and share it, it's important for me. Like that's how I teach. So yeah, I've just been feeling this gap, just this gap, and questioning like, how do I bridge this gap? How do I close this gap? How do I get back into connection? And then something really powerful happened. So if you've been following me since I had my daughter a year ago, I went through a season of really using my yoni egg from Wands. I was really using it very consistently, so much, and it was really powerful for me in like rebuilding my strength in my pelvic floor in postpartum. And I did feel such a massive difference, like such a massive difference in how I was holding myself while like standing, and just didn't feel as heavy and weighed down in my pelvic floor, and so it served me really beautifully in that season. But I've been feeling like I've been yoni gazing pretty consistently, and it was just however I was sitting one of the days with my legs open and looking in the mirror, it looked like my whole, like, I don't know. I created the story that I had this insane prolapse. Let's just say that. Okay. I created the story that I was like, so prolapse, like, and I was just like, oh my God, like my pelvic floor is so weak and blah, blah, blah. And just kind of spiraled in this story. And, which is okay. You know, give myself grace for that. I love the spiral every now and then. but yeah, I created the story and I was like, I need to go to a pelvic floor physio. I need to get this looked at. I need to get this fixed. And so divinely, of course, there was a very long wait. It was like 6 weeks or something that I had to wait for the appointment. Maybe less than, maybe 4 weeks, but I had completely forgotten by the time I had my pelvic floor physio appointment. I had completely forgotten that I like booked it and had this huge spiraling so I was a little bit nervous, you know, because I feel like I would have felt different if I was used to, you know, having a midwife while I was pregnant, kind of constantly checking me, or in birth and postpartum. But because I didn't choose to participate in the medical system in that way, I don't know if that's comfortable for everyone to just like spread your legs and show the world, you know, but it depends on the space and the container for me. And so I was nervous because I was like, oh my gosh, like, what's it going to be? Am I going to feel all of this shame? And I was just like, it's okay. Like, I had met my physiotherapist. I'd met her before, which also kind of felt nice that it wasn't just this like fresh stranger that I was like meeting for the first time and opening my legs for, you know? But oh my God. Oh my God. This woman is incredible. Just made me feel so incredibly safe, so deeply held and supported. And I was just like in awe. And then there was a lot of grief that came up for me in, you know, kind of questioning my choice to completely disregard the medical system. And in that, even like physio, like I went to the chiropractor once, shared my story about that on here. And yeah, went to massage therapy a couple of times, but there was a lot of grief that came up because I was like, wow, in saying no to everything, me thinking like, oh, I'm saying no to all of the harm and, you know, the stories and experiences that I hear from women who engage in the system and give their power away, or, you know, aren't in the space to advocate for themselves, or their husbands don't know how to advocate for themselves. Their babies get, you know, taken away or rubbed vigorously, or all of the things, you know. I don't need to go into that. So by saying no to that, I didn't realize I was also saying no to the care that would have been really supportive. And I think I've shared on here a little bit of that grief of like, wow, like, did I not think that I was worthy of care? And yeah, that grief surfaced again in this physio session. But it was like, I don't know, like the softest release of grief that I have felt. And yeah, so I don't have prolapse. And she actually said that, you know, here I was thinking like, oh my God, my guts are hanging out of me. I'm so weak telling myself this story. And she said, no, like, so there's the two side points and the top and bottom points. And she said the two side points are 5 out of 5 strength and the top and bottom are 4 out of 5 strength. And she said, we like to get people to a 3 out of 5. So you're good. And what she said to me was, you actually aren't relaxing your pelvic floor all the way. And I can feel that there are so many women that are having this same experience and might not even be aware of it. So of course, as I do, I'm speaking on it. So she said, a lot of these symptoms that I'm having are actually from fatigued muscles that are like just gripping all the time. And when we did some exercises, she said I was only getting to about 70% relaxed. And of course, she wants me to be able to, you know, strengthen tight, hold all the way, and then relax and release all the way. And I'm only getting to about 70%. And because, you know, our relationships with our wombs, with our yonis and vagina, vulva, whatever language you use there. Like, I like using the word yoni because it encompasses everything, not just the vulva. So it just feels like more so when I'm trying to speak to, but because that is such a mirror for women into how we live our day-to-day lives, I was like, wow, where else am I not being soft? Where else am I only getting to about 70% softness? Where else in my life am I still gripping that 30%, that last 30%? And like immediately I'm like, ooh, I already know. I already know, like, that huge mirror for motherhood. And while I've felt myself in this last year very slowly softening, easing into feeling safer and safer and safer in motherhood, feeling more, yeah, like grounded and secure in motherhood, I'm still gripping. I'm still afraid of releasing control, you know, and nobody has like babysat or watched my daughter. Florian and I have not had a moment. We've had a moment, but like we've not had a moment without us being like in the same building as her or the same room as our daughter. And so yeah, no date nights, no like one-on-one husband-wife time. And you know, I didn't feel like I needed that the first like half of this year. I was very much like, the help that I need is not somebody taking my baby off my hands. It's, you know, the cooking, the cleaning, the folding of the laundry, the somebody listening to me share and speak and process and being held in that way. And yeah, now I'm like, I'm feeling, feeling resistance towards releasing that control, and like letting somebody else that I trust, obviously, watch my baby. And like, yeah, I don't know. I know that some people are not like that. Some people are like, oh, please, like I need a few hours alone. And, you know, then there's the other, you know, narrative that if you're not, you know, if you're only nourished when you're by yourself and not when you're in motherhood, like there's something that needs to be looked at in your day-to-day motherhood experience and where you need support there. And yeah, so it's not like a, oh my God, I'm drowning, somebody save me, help me, come watch my baby. But it's just like, so my husband is also a tattoo artist. He was an apprentice for a little while. And we've been like talking about him tattooing me when I get to this 1 year mark. And I have the tattoo drawn and ready and I know exactly what I want, but it's like, oh, if I want this tattoo, if I want my husband to tattoo me, I'm going to need somebody to watch my daughter. And I'm like, ah. I'm like, oh my God, resistance. Am I a bad mom for like having somebody else watch my daughter? Or like, will she be okay? And what if they feed her something that I wouldn't feed her? And like all of these things. And I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely not fully soft there yet. And I also like give myself so much grace and love and compassion. I have, yeah, like I said, softened so much in motherhood, but I do recognize like, okay, that's a mirror. So I already know who I'm going to ask to watch her. And now it's just a matter of me asking, but then there's also this layer of like, oh my God, am I being a burden? And am I like, is it too much to ask somebody to watch her, like, and this like, oh, what do I need to do and give in return, which also is this mirror. And this is a lesson I've learned in pregnancy and postpartum and motherhood, is like, can you just receive? If I ask, hey, will you come to my house and watch my daughter for 2 hours while my husband tattoos me? Like, if I just ask that, can I just soften and receive? Can I just receive? If they say yes, like, can I just receive without feeling like, oh my God, I need to give you something. I need to, you know, pay you or make you food, or, you know, like, I need to give something in order to be able to receive. And so again, here's another mirror. When we think of the feminine energy, you know, she is open to receive 100% of the way. Right? That divine feminine energy. She doesn't need to give in order to be worthy of receiving. She is inherently worthy, and she knows it, and she acts like it. So then I'm like, okay, and mirror that into, you know, my relationship with my husband. Mirror that into my business, my offerings. Am I open 100% of the way to receive? Based on my pelvic floor, no, I'm not. I'm getting there, you know? And so what really excites me about this is that I kind of, by going to this first appointment, I kind of have been given a roadmap, let's say, a blueprint for how I am currently operating as a woman in the world, and where I can soften more. And so I'm going to share with you the practices that I am doing to soften. And I'm starting, of course, with the physical body, because that is, you know, that's my work. We connect with the body, we tune into the body, we listen to the body, we receive the body's guidance and wisdom and intelligence. So I'm starting with the body because, oh man, just like the energetic and emotional implications or ripples from working with the body are mind-blowing. Years and years and years ago, I started working with a lacrosse ball and just like rolling out my entire body, anywhere that I felt tension, rolling it out. And it was like a very intense process and experience and practice, because I kept coming back again and again and again. But oh my God, I have never had such like consistent emotional and energetic release as when I'm consistently working with my lacrosse ball and working with my physical body. Like, the link between mind, body, spirit is just so profound. I can't even give it words. But it's so real. It is so real. So essentially what I'm doing is, you know, from the guidance of my physiotherapist, I'm also going to be working with this like myofascial release in my pelvic floor. And I am currently holding the most gorgeous, glorious thing ever. It is a glass cervix wand. It's called the Cervix Wand by Wands, Waands. I have an affiliate code I will share in the description of this podcast. But I am going to be working with this, and I used it yesterday. So I've used it twice now since my appointment last week, and using it while bleeding, oh, just looks incredible. Just like the blood on the clear glass, like, oh, it just is so fucking beautiful. But yeah, so it's this curve, and on one end there's a little ball And this wand is designed, obviously, by its name, the cervix wand. It's designed to stimulate your cervix. And there's more like sexual intention with that you can tap into. But for me, I'm not using it in that sexual way. I'm using that ball to just very gently press on my pelvic floor muscles, press and hold, and just breathe and see if I can feel my muscles softening and relaxing around this glass ball at the end. I also have the Amrita wand. I have the pink aventurine one, and the ball on that one is slightly bigger, so I'll probably use these two interchangeably. But the cervix wand, like, something about the clear glass is just intoxicating to me. So that is the first thing that I'm doing, and it's just very, very gentle press and hold and kind of feel my muscles melt. Like, that's the sensation that I'm looking for and waiting for. Just feeling it melt. And I'm like, wow, imagine what will happen when I can fully relax that 100% of the way after the contraction and not be gripping and holding and, you know, bracing. Like, that 30%, like, what is waiting for me in that 30%? And so, you know, like, the womb is such a powerful, divine mystery. I'm gonna allow it to unfold mysteriously and not try to figure it out, you know. But one thing I'm like, yeah, will I soften in my motherhood? Absolutely. Will I soften in my marriage? Absolutely. Will I, you know, soften just at home? You know, I find, like, when I'm resting or when I'm watching my husband clean the kitchen or cook or, you know, care for our daughter and I'm just resting, I'm like, ooh, I need to do something so I'm allowed to rest. And I still notice that pattern, even though I've worked to dismantle that. It's still there to some degree. And so, like, I imagine, like, wow, imagine just me claiming that space for rest. And not feeling like I have to do something to earn it, or because my husband is cleaning, then that means that I should clean as well, or that I should do something else. Like, what if I just relaxed? And, like, what if my mind was able to relax in that too? And I think about my business, like, how much more could I receive instead of feeling like I need to give as much of myself to my clients as I possibly can. What if I give what I have to give with the inherent knowing that it is enough, that what I have to offer is enough, it's more than enough, and it's really powerful for those who are ready to receive it. And then what if I soften in that knowing? I'm fully softened and open myself to receive the women who are ready for my work, who are ready to work with me in the ways that I have available, or the ways that I'm available to work with them. Oh, there's like my relationship with money. You know, if I'm fully open to receive, like, how much more money is going to feel safe coming my way? So, that's kind of where I'm at. And, this word softening has really felt like my word the last couple of weeks. Can I soften in my friendships and sisterhood? Can I soften in motherhood? Can I soften in my expectations of myself in my business? Can I soften in the ways that I, you know, show up in the world? Can I soften in my marriage? My daughter is just waking up from her nap. Can I soften? Can I just be soft? Can I soften in my emotional expression? And can I allow myself to be seen as soft? Can I allow myself to be seen as soft? So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the unfolding of this journey of softening. And of course, like, what a beautiful, divine, aligned time to be working with this energy of softening, of releasing, of letting go, as we are transitioning from autumn slowly into winter. So, how soft are you? If you could give it a number, like what number would you give? If you haven't been to a pelvic floor physio, oh my God, I highly recommend that you do. And find someone who, is like, amazing at what they do, who will make you feel so safe and held and seen and like connect to your pelvic floor in a much more intentional, present way than perhaps you are now. You know, I'm so much more, just that one session with her, I have more coming, but just that one session with her, I have so much more awareness in my pelvic floor. And I'm like, I can feel it now, because I had no idea before. And like, I'm a woman who is, you know, very connected to her body, but I still have blind spots. And that's where working with, you know, people who know their shit is really powerful, right? Because they can bring our awareness to places that we didn't know we needed to bring our awareness to. But I can feel myself struggling in that last 30% to soften. When I'm like going to the bathroom, once I'm done, I'll, you know, squeeze my pelvic floor and I'll relax and release and I'll feel like, is it all the way? Can I breathe here and soften a little bit more? Yeah. So yeah, what's your number? How soft are you? And how does that mirror into the other areas of your life? How soft are you with your partners? How soft are you with your, you know, pressures you put on yourself at work? How soft are you with your children and motherhood, with your business and your offerings, in your friendships, sisterhood, relationships, romantic or not? And like, not soft as in, oh, I'm, you know, people pleaser, pushover, but just soft, I don't know. Not letting people walk all over you, but like, are you gripping, and can you release that grip, even if it's just an extra 10%? Can you release a little bit more? Release your control, your grip on how you think things should be, should look, should unfold, how you think you should show up. And then, yeah, when you connect to your pelvic floor, can that be your mirror into all the other mirrors of your life? Can that be your mirror? How does that relate to the way that you walk through all these other areas of your life and in the world? My practices moving forward are, first and foremost, using the cervix wand and my Amrita wand to soften, to massage out my pelvic floor and feel myself really soft and malleable. Malleable is the word. And I have two yoni eggs that I still will be working with, but not in the way I was before. Before it was really like clenching, holding, strengthening. Now I'm going to, you know, have my yoni egg in and feel if I can soften with the resistance. So those will be my practices. I'm excited to see how they impact the other areas of my life. And yeah, again, I have a discount code. It's all capitals, Creating Eden 10, for you to get 10% off of the cervix wand, Amrita wand, free bleed blankets, the yoni eggs, other pleasure wands. So I'll put that link in the description for you to go check out. And of course, you don't need these tools. I love tools. If you look at my altar, you can tell I love tools because they're the, you know, physical, tangible, in-form reminders of the work that I'm doing or the intentions that I have. But you can use your fingers. You can use your hands. Like, you don't need... You can use your partner. You can not use your partner. You can invite your partner to be the one to massage your pelvic floor. Very, very gently. Very gently. But you can make that a practice with your partner. And yeah, it doesn't have to be, like, if these tools aren't feeling accessible to you. It's not like, oh, if I don't have it, I can't do this practice. Like, you absolutely can. So yeah, I think that's all I have for you today. I started by sitting here feeling a little bit more disconnected to myself, and now I'm like home. I am home. I am here. I'm in my body, in my breath, I'm in my womb, in my blood, and yeah, it feels really good. I love this podcast. So I am sending you love wherever you are, and I will speak to you on the podcast again soon.